Let's read verses 12 through 14 again. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I told you Sunday about one of a young lady who made a profession of faith. And when I first heard that, I rejoiced. I really did. That was my first reaction. I greatly rejoiced. And then my second thought was, I hope it's real. Did you? You always do that, don't you? When somebody does, especially a young person, because they've got so much to go through. They haven't gone through anything yet. And I thought, I hope it's genuine and I hope it lasts. But then I started thinking, I hope it's genuine in me. I hope it lasts for me. Like Peter, when Peter came back, when Paul came back from preaching to the Gentiles, they all concluded, we're going to be saved. Those Jews, you know, they said, we're going to be saved like them. Talking about the heathen Gentile. They didn't say, they're going to be saved like us. They said, we're going to be saved like them. It's going to be by God's grace. It's going to be by sovereign grace, sovereign electing, keeping grace, restraining grace, constraining grace. Salvation is by grace. If I'm saved, if I hold fast unto the end, it's not due to my might or power, it's due to His. So, yeah, I hope it's genuine. I hope it lasts, and I hope we all do. That's why the exhortation here. And this verse of Scripture came to my mind when I thought about her and that. It like the Lord spoke it out loud to me. He didn't. I mean, in my head, in my heart. Verse 14 came to my mind just as clearly. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Right up front, I'm going to tell you here, okay? For your comfort, for your peace. It does not say, and this was for my comfort, it does not say we're made partakers of Christ if we quit sinning. It does not say we are made partakers of Christ if we can live a sinless life, if we never fall. It does not say that. Thank God. It does not say if we do this or do that, but simply if we hold the beginning of our confidence. What's that? Jesus Christ. If you lay hold of Jesus Christ, you're a partaker. Man, that helped me so much. Oh, that helped me. Anybody, young or old, who lays hold of Jesus Christ by faith is made a partaker of Christ. And hold on to the end. So after considering that and studying this, it gave me such hope, and I hope it'll do the same for you. Verse 1, you've got to go back and take it in context. He says, holy brethren. Now, hold on there. People's conception of holiness is all wrong. You know that? It's not necessarily what you wear. Because you wear black? No, sir. Because you wear a beard or whatever, a bonnet. No, sir. That's what the Pharisees did. I know some ignorant people do that, but that's not holy. Jesus Christ was the Holy One. And you could not distinguish Him physically from the common man, could you? He didn't wear phylacteries and all that. What separates God's people, as we've already seen before, is the truth. Our Lord prayed that. Sanctify them. Separate. That's what holy means. Sanctify. Set them apart through thy truth. That's what sets apart God's people from the world. And, you know, the truth instilled in you will regulate your conduct and your make you modest and so forth. It will. But the thing that really makes people holy is the truth. Christ, who is the truth. He sanctified. He sanctified Himself that we also might be sanctified. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. All right? He is our sanctification. We're set apart because we're in Him. You remember that. Holy brethren. Brethren, that means we're brethren by adoption, aren't we? God has one begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We're adopted in the family. He's the elder brother. He's the heir, isn't he? And we get everything because of Him. We're brethren, though. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word apostle means messenger. Messenger. And the Lord did send 12 messengers, didn't He? Apostles. Christ was the message. They were the messenger. But He's called the apostle, capital A. See that? There's one that capitalized. He is. Because He's the messenger of the covenant, like Malachi said. The Lord, the messenger of the covenant shall come. The one sent by God with the absolute truth. Peter, Paul, James, all of them, they didn't know everything. Paul said that we know in part. Christ did. He is the truth. He is the truth. You believe that, don't you? You've considered Him. You believe Him to be the truth, don't you? Everything He says. You rely on, you trust your confidence. You put all your confidence in what Jesus Christ has said, don't you? He's the truth. Anybody says anything contrary to what He says is a liar, right? He's the truth. You believe that? So He's your confidence. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. High priest. This book of Hebrews, we've been looking at it, haven't we? The high priest, oh my, all the way through. You have to have one. They had to have one in the old. We have to have one now. We have to have a high priest. You have to have a blood sacrifice. You have to have a sanctuary. These three are one. Christ. He's all those things. A high priest is one who offers gifts and sacrifices to God for the people of God, the mediator between God and man. God won't deal with us personally. He deals with a mediator. Who's that? Well, it's no man, it's no woman. It's the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, the mediator. He's the high priest. And a high priest is one who goes to God with something on behalf of God's people to make atonement for the sins of God's people. Blood. Well, he made it with His own precious blood. One sacrifice. Obtained eternity. You believe that, don't you? That's your hope. That's your confidence. That Jesus Christ is the great high priest who by that one offering perfected forever them that are sanctified. Huh? Put away your sins by the blood of His cross. Is that your hope? We sang, holy, holy, holy. Because that's our God. Right, Brother Stephen? That's the God of the Bible. That's our God. That most men don't know. We know Him. He's revealed Himself to us. Holy, holy, holy. Then we sang, my faith has found a resting place. Where? In Christ. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. Do you believe that? So be still, my soul. Thy hope, thy confidence. Where's that? It's in Christ. Let nothing and no one shake. He's the high priest. He put it away. He sat down. And it says, we're seated. We're seated with Him in the heavenly place. Done. Tis done. Tis done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. That's your confidence? Are you sure? Huh? Are you confident? Well, hold right there. I can do that by His grace, can't you? And the Scripture goes on to talk about Christ as a son over His house. Verse 3, verse 4 says, He that built all things is God. Well, that's Christ. He built this church. And He's the one on whom the church is built. He's the cornerstone. Verse 6 says, As Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Whose house are we? Members of His household. Ephesians 2, 19, I believe it is, says we're fellow members of His household. Well, you know what all was said before that. Ephesians 1 and 2. We are members of His household if we hold fast the confidence. Same thing. All right? Does it interest you to be a member of God's family? He has a family. Ephesians 3 or 5, I believe it is. 5 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God has a family. It's a household of faith. Christ is the Lord over His house. Does it interest you to be a part of His house? His house. Well, David said this. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to be in the house of the Lord. He says, where we'll be His house if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope unto the end. And down in verse 14, it says we're made partakers of Christ. Partakers of Christ. That word partaker means to take part. Take part of what? Partakers of what? Christ. Christ. It's to be a partaker of Him. Like a woman who falls in love with, the man falls in love with her, and they're married, and she gets him, and he gets her, right? That's when they're in love, that's all they want, isn't it? Food, having food and raiment, they're content. They've got each other. Does that interest you? To be a partaker of Christ, the bride of Christ. To be with Him, be a partaker of Christ means to be with Him. Our Lord prayed that they might be with me where I am. That they might be with me forever. It says the Lord Himself shall dwell with them. The Lord Jesus Christ. Is that interesting? To be with Him. To behold His glory. David, let me keep quoting David there. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what, David? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Sounds like a man who's a partaker of Christ Himself. Christ Himself. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To take part in beholding His beauty and His glory. Worshiping Him. Everybody's not interested in that. Few people are. You know that? Few people are interested truly in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only partakers of Jesus Christ are really interested in one thing if I desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after. Most people need fleshly entertainment. They need activities. They need excitement, something to see, something to feel, something to do. Flesh. All right, here's the three things that the true circumcision are called in Philippians 3:3. They worship God in the Spirit. Don't need all this stuff. They worship from the heart by the aid of the Holy Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. They come and they hear Jesus Christ preach, and that rejoices their heart. Why? They're partakers of Christ. And they put no confidence in the flesh. Not their own, not anyone else's, not anything to do with the flesh, the outward trappings of religion. No, 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 no. They need truth. The truth as it is in Jesus Christ. That's what they need. That's what it means to be a partaker of Jesus Christ. Does it interest you to be a partaker of His righteousness? Ooh. David, once again, said, I'll behold thee in righteousness. Yea, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I want to be just like Jesus Christ. Don't you? Only partakers of Christ, those who see His beauty and His glory, want to be like Him. They want to be like Him. Partakers, participants in the same thing, worshiping the Lord and beholding His beauty. And I got here and I forgot my glasses. And so I had to rush home to get them. I got in the car and rushed home. And on the way, I saw all of you all. Did you see me? Amy, I saw Amy going by. She looked like it. I saw Irene go by. And she, I saw Gabe and Hannah. They looked like, where are you going? I saw several people. Stephen, that's all you all. What's he doing? You know what was running? Maybe that happened for this illustration. But I thought, man, am I glad that I'm not heading the other way for good. See, all these people are coming to God's house to worship. All these people are coming here to worship. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad that I'm a partaker with them, that I want to be with them, that I want to do what they do. I didn't always want that. There was a time when I was headed the other direction just as fast as I could. Didn't want to see these people. Hope they didn't see me. But now, Joseph, I'm fellow citizen of the household of faith. That's where I want to be, with God's people, partaking of this. Partaking of this one bread. It says, calls us partakers of the heavenly calling in verse 1. Partakers of the heavenly calling. God in sovereign mercy, sovereign electing mercy, undeserved mercy and in grace has called. Many are called, but few are chosen to hear it effectually, savingly. Few, Brother Mac, few and I have heard this call effectually and laid hold of Christ. Bless God Almighty. Everybody hadn't heard that. They have ears to hear but don't hear. But He gave us ears to hear. It must be mean we're partakers. Now, all right, what does it mean to hold fast this confidence? Now, the Lord is not saying that it depends on us. That if you hold fast, it's all up to you. Hold on now. That's what Arminians say. That's what free will religion said. Hold on. Keep on. If you pray through, you know. If you do that, that's not what this is saying. Simply stating the fact. The Lord is simply stating the fact. If we hold fast, if we keep holding, trusting Christ, if we, our Lord said, keep His commandment. If you keep My commandment, that means as hearing something come from the mouth of Christ, the Word of Christ, and it's something you don't want to lose. That's what keep means. You don't want to lose it. You found a treasure, and you don't want to lose it. That's what it means, keep means. That's what it means. Keep. Guard against loss. You found something, a great treasure, and you don't want to lose it. A pearl. If we move not away. If we fall not away. Just stating a fact. Right? Stating a fact. If we die in the faith, partakers of Christ. If we, like the people in Hebrews 11, die in the faith, then we're partakers of Christ. That's a fact. It's not saying it's dependent on us. You hear that? Just stating the fact. If we hold fast, here's the fact of the matter, you know this. If we hold fast, it's because He held us fast. Did not our Lord say, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand? Didn't He say that? That's my hope. Not that I hold on. That He holds me. What are our children? We have little children and we carry them. Little Sophie. She can barely walk now. She's walking pretty good actually, but still. When we hold her, crossing the street or anything, when we hold her, what's her hope? What's her hope, her safety? Her holding on to her mama or daddy? Her hope lies in the strength of that man who's got her in his arms. Huh? That's our hope, underneath the everlasting arms. The Lord's just stating a fact here. In fact, if we're His house, if we're partakers of Christ, if we hold fast. And if we do, He loved us, chose us, bought us, brought us, taught us, and kept us. He gets the glory. We're not going to get any glory for holding on. Like a man holding a life rope, you know. Or holding on to somebody that went in and got him, and he's drowning, and he lays hold. What are we going to do? Pat him on the back? Oh, you sure held tight. We're sure thankful. We're going to praise the one that saved him. So is he. He gets the glory. And He said this to make us accountable too. Make us accountable. And to prove His Word. Like a parent tells a child, if you do this, if you do that, I'll do this. The Lord proves His Word that way, doesn't it? If you do this, I'll do that. I'm not talking about conditions for salvation. He's just saying, if you do this, I'll do that. Prove me. You watch. He says, give, and you wait and see if I don't give you to you. He's proving His Word. And to make us accountable. If you don't, we say to our children, if you go here, you go there, you'll get in trouble. If you don't do this, don't do that. If you do this, you're going to get in trouble. Right? So is our Heavenly Father with us. But He said, if you stay here, you'll be safe. And we will. So, that's why it says it. If we hold fast. What does it mean? Well, hold, lay hold. And Scripture says this often. Lay hold. You've laid hold of something before. I mean, really, lay hold. It means to seize. It means to grab it. Like something you need, something you must have, something you want. You gotta have it. Like that drowning man. Someone comes and gets him. Man, he's a goner. So he lays hold of that person that comes and gets him. Like a fearful child holding on to the parent. A hungry or thirsty man or woman. There's bread and water. Give me that. Give me that. Hold fast. Fast means tight. Fast means not wanting to let go. Not wanting to let go lest you perish. And one illustration will suffice. Jacob. Jacob laid hold of someone because he laid hold of Jacob. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ came to Jacob. He initiated this wrestling match and wrestled with him, laid hold of him. He was never the same. And old Jacob, what did Jacob do? He laid hold of the Lord. And what did he say? Here's what it means to hold fast. What did he say? I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's what that meant. I can't let go. So there's your answer. Our confidence is Christ the Lord, and we see our need of Christ and fear for our lives, fear for our souls. See Christ as our only hope and Savior. We hunger and thirst for His righteousness. We need Christ, and nothing and no one else will meet the need. Then we lay hold of Christ. And He's called the beginning of our confidence, isn't it? The beginning of our confidence. In the beginning, when you first heard the gospel, those of you who believe, this is written to a believer, professing believer. When you first heard the gospel, you came here, or wherever you heard it, and you felt like you were dead, lost, guilty, dirty, worthless, helpless, ignorant. You heard the good news of a sovereign God, sovereign mercy, sovereign grace, a complete pardon, forgiveness of sin, Christ's righteousness imputed, justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law. You heard that, and you laid hold by faith. That's just what you needed. In the beginning, you came and you cried, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And you heard Romans 8:1 say, there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ. And you laid hold of that hope, didn't you? In the beginning. Christ said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Quit working, trying to work your way to heaven, trying to do all this and that to appease God and to please God. And some of you in religion, you heard that, and it was such peace and rest, and you laid hold of Christ, didn't you? Huh? That was in the beginning. All right? Now, tell me, how is it with you now? How do you feel now? In the beginning, you were a helpless, hopeless, guilty, dirty, worthless. Now, have you made great spiritual progress? Anybody? Gotten the victory over every sin? Sin and sin molest you no more. Anybody? Now you've lived a good life from then and you're worth saving. Anybody? Then hold on. to your confidence that you had in the beginning. Our Lord, when He found us, that's the way we were. And when He comes back for us, we're still going to be, sir. That gives me such comfort. Oh my. Do you still cry, O wretched man that I am? Paul said that when he was in his 50s. And I still lay hold of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's my confidence. He's my confidence. Ah, boy, the Lord is mercifully and graciously and simply telling us, you were a sinner when I found you. You'll be a sinner when I come back for you. You hold on to Christ and I'll take you home. That's good news, isn't it? Goodness. Look to me and be ye saved. Not do this, not that. Look to me. Look and be ye saved. Ends of the earth. Chief of sinners. But what? There's no but in there. Amen. Look at verse 6 and I'll close. He says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Rejoicing of the hope. When you first heard the gospel, you rejoiced so much, didn't you? Do you still rejoice? still hope in His mercy. Rejoice in the hope. Rejoicing of the hope. That word partaker, I looked it up and it has several things went with it. One of them, it means to eat. Like partake of food. To eat. Our Lord said, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part in me. You're not a partaker. Eating, as you know, involves appetite. Appetite. Hunger and thirst. It's a sign of life if you have an appetite. Sign of life. And some of you are real alive. But this thing of hungering and thirsting, being a partaker of Christ, involves hungering and thirsting and appetite. Christ in you means Christ is you have an appetite for Christ. You have a love for David. Once again, David talked about the Word of God. He said, it's my very bread. He said, it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Israel of old, of whom so much is written throughout here as an example to us, to beware. Israel, when the manna first fell, they were overjoyed. They received it with joy and rejoicing. They went out and gathered it. Oh, what a blessing. Look, just gather it. There it is. Oh, and they said it tasted like wafers dipped in honey. You like wafers dipped in honey? Oh, they loved it. They ate it with hunger. They ate it with relish and great satisfaction. But 40 years went by. And with many of them, it says, they lost their appetite. In fact, they said, we loathe this light bread. Give us something else. That's what it means when it said they lusted exceeding light. Well, give us quail. I mean, give us leeks and onions and garlics and cucumbers. And all. We want to go back to Egypt. Is the gospel still sweet to you? Do you need anything else, really? I grieve over the falls of believers. The falls, temptation and sin of my own. I grieve over those. But the greatest grief of all is if somebody falls away and doesn't come back. Because Scripture says, Hebrews 6, it's impossible to renew them again to repent. I grieve over, but we can forget about the most terrible fall into sin if people just come back. Can't we? Rahab the harlot? Oh, yeah. And he talks about the deceitfulness of sin, and that's the problem, isn't it? It deceives us. Sin, the deceitfulness of riches, deceive us. Well, in the beginning, we ran here, got here, came where the gospel was, to run away from those things that tempted us. To get out of the world. That's why we come here apart for a little while, and we feel like Barbara always said, I feel like I get take a bath when I come hear the gospel. But she said, I feel dirty when I come here and I feel clean when I leave. If Christ is perfect. Well, in the beginning, didn't we come because those things bothering us and hounding us and going tempting us? And so we come here and we hear about Christ, our only need, the true bread. We hear about Him and say, yes, that's who I want. That's what I don't need this other. Don't we? And it gave us strength to resist. Well, it's still the same. Still the same. In fact, the longer you live in this world, like the children of Israel, the harder it is to resist. That's the fact. Where's the promise of His coming? It's right there, same as where it was in the beginning. He's coming back. The children of Israel, Moses was gone 40 days, and he said he's not coming back. So they started, I don't know, No. Come back. Keep coming. This is our strength. Hold the beginning of our compass steadfast to the end. This gospel not only saves us eternally, it saves us temporally. When we see Christ, hear Christ preach, we have our affection set on things above. It saves us from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The deceitfulness of sin. Yes, it does. I'm telling you from experience. It's the only thing that does. Not your own resolve, not your own strength, but by looking to Him, seeing in Him, beholding the beauty of the Lord. It's the only thing that will turn your eyes away from this world. Only thing. Is that right? That's right. So you hold fast this confidence, which is Christ, and the rejoicing. I hope, and it's obvious that the Lord, you all still rejoice in the gospel. And that's of the Lord. It's you and not me, because they really have heard all I've had to say. I have one thing to say, don't we? One thing to say. Like a cook, you know. A cook is always looking for new ways, new recipes to prepare the same basic ingredients. Right? The same basic ingredients. New ways. We're looking for new texts, but it's the same thing. Christ the bread. Christ the water. Christ the meat. Christ the way. Christ the truth. Do you have an appetite? I believe you do. May the Lord make it so to the end. Okay. Stand with me. Our Lord, thank You so much for Your Word that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for wisdom from above, for peace and comfort, for joy and rejoicing. Lord, Your Word is our meat and drink as it speaks of Christ. The truth as it is in Him. Lord, we thank You for Your Word and ask that You would cause us to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might look to Him, look like Him. Lord, we pray that You would take Your Word and plant it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, and let no iniquity have dominion over us. Keep our eyes steadfast on Christ. And let us not look to the right or to the left, but look straight on to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we ask that You would continue to mediate for us that our faith fail not. That we hold fast unto Thee, steadfast unto the end. And if we do, we'll give You all honor and glory for it. It's in Christ's name we met here tonight and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.